Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Amen. We're in our Holy Spirit message series. Stay lit. And I want to stay lit. How about you?
Yeah.
I want to be burning. You want to be burning? I want to be filled to the brim with the fire of God. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, this is our third week in our Holy Spirit message series. And Holy Spirit is not just a doctrine to be learned. He's not just part of a creed. He's not just someone who was there at the beginning, but now he just teaches us the Bible as someone teaches it. Holy Spirit is God on earth. Amen? And Holy Spirit is to play an active part in our lives. He is supposed to be an active participant in our families, in our church life, in what we are doing. And today I'm going to teach on the gift of tongues because it is just so misused in church. The teachings are so funky. Like you have to jump through all kinds of mental hoops to believe some of the teachings that people are saying about Holy Spirit, and specifically the gift of tongues. And let me tell you why. JJ, can I get a little bit more monitor? And let me tell you why. Tongues freaks people out. It freaks people out because they can't control it, and it escapes their intellect. And I just have a feeling that's how God designed it. I have this sneaky suspicion that Jehovah Sneaky wants to do things without us understanding what's happening, right? Like, on some level, we have to surrender our need to understand and control God.
Yeah.
Who can know him, the Bible says. And now today's charismatic says, oh, I know him perfectly. I know God perfectly. I understand everything. Like the deception that we walk in as believers. I was talking with some families recently, and if you want to get this pride broken off your life where you think you know everything, just have a kid. I mean, men learned it earlier just by getting married, right? And God sends us a helper to teach us that we don't know everything, right? Like, and the only people who know how to perfectly raise children, hear me, are people without kids. Because they got all the answers for child rearing, right? Just have one and you quickly recognize you don't know anything and you're just holding on for dear life, right? You know where you want to end up, you just have no idea how to get there. Amen? You just have no idea how to get there. So you really, here's how it's designed. Are you ready? It's designed so you have to rely on Holy Spirit day by day to raise your kids in a godly manner. You have to rely on God. If you want a healthy marriage, you have to rely on God. And you got to do things like the kids' coloring page. Say, I will be nice even when others are mean.
Amen.
Amen.
You have to rely on God. And without God, you got to come up with systems and you have to just agree that we're never going to talk about this area, or we're just not going to go there. And in the church world, what we do is, instead of like really giving God control, we just say, hey, we're all going to agree this is this, period, right? Nobody's going to think anything differently. And as long as we all agree to these lines of doctrine, no one will ever disagree, and we'll put on blinders, and we'll act like nothing else happens, and we'll all go in the same direction. Right? We'll have no disagreements, and that's how we'll have peace in the church. As opposed to saying, hey, you know, you may know something different here, but, you know, I'm leading, so I need you to kind of let me lead, but we can disagree and still go in the same direction.
Yeah.
We can vote for different people on election day. We can believe that Jesus is returning at different times. There's lots of stuff in Scripture that, honestly, is not very clear. And it's not clear, hear this, on purpose. If you wanted it to be clear, guess what? It would be crystal clear. And if things like the return of Christ is very clear to you, then possibly you should talk to people outside your stream. It becomes unclear very quickly. Amen? Are you with me here? Very, very quickly. I have an opinion, and it's just that. We'll find out in the end. And I like to point out, and I don't know why I'm talking about this, but every single person who knew exactly when Jesus is returning has been wrong. There's never been one that was correct yet. So if you got a clear, clear, clear view on eschatology, you got to at least include that you might be wrong. other things in the scripture are very clear. I'm talking crystal clear, right? Yeah. Put up our first scripture if we could. Very, very clear. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. That looks pretty clear to me.
Yeah.
That's clear. Yeah. Not a lot of gray area in that. Do not forbid to speak in tongues. So any place you go that forbids speaking in tongues, that's contrary to the scripture. Now, does that mean in all places, in all gatherings, we're having lunch and you're going to start screaming in tongues? No, that's not what that means. Does that mean I'm preaching now and you stand up and just start yelling in tongues? No, that's not what that means. What it does mean is we are not going to say it ended, because that would be a violation of scripture. Now, a scripture that's that clear, in order for that no longer to be applicable to our lives, you have to have scripture that's even more clear on its ending.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let me say this. Okay. Hold on before you pass any judgment on what I'm about to say, okay? I believe it's very clear in scripture that a man and woman get married and have babies. That's God's plan. And that hasn't really changed, right? That's my interpretation of scripture. He creates men, he creates women, he gets them married, they have kids. Are you with me? This is not complex stuff. Are you with me, right? There's less scriptural background commanding that than there is on the activity of the Holy Spirit in today's church. And I absolutely agree that's man, woman, kids. But there's less New Testament scripture for that than there is Holy Spirit at work in the church today. And what am I saying? There's so much overwhelming evidence that Holy Spirit is supposed to be active in our midst. You have to jump over whole chapters of the Bible to latch on to one half of one scripture, of one verse, one phrase. Oh, no, this one phrase nullifies two chapters of scripture. But they say people who have a different view of marriage are somehow fallen and don't elevate the Bible, but they'll say, oh, Holy Spirit, no, that was for them, but we elevate the Bible. No, actually you don't. No, you don't, right? Right? There's just too much scripture for the activity of Holy Spirit in today's church. So you can say the Holy Spirit doesn't minister anymore, but you can't say that you believe the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, you could do it, you just can't say it and say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. You can't do it honestly. You have to be lying to say you believe the Bible and you believe that Holy Spirit is not active in today's church, right? And so I love every Christian, everybody who glorifies the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe some things are very clear. I believe some things are not as clear. And I am happy for anyone who's winning the lost and is preaching the name of Jesus. Now, not every church, for whatever reason, preaches this. And I'm only in charge of this church. All right, so I'm not judging any other church in town. I'm not saying we're better than them. I'm not saying we're more spiritual to them. I'm not saying, you know, we have better fruit or more fruit or closer to God or any nonsense like that. Amen?
Amen.
Right? Different churches, different people, doing very good things. Amen? And that's okay. That's okay. So there's no judgment here, but put up our scripture again. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, desire earnestly to prophesy. Now, I read and teach out of the New American Standard Bible. That's the NASB. There's many versions of the scriptures. We have a handful, maybe more, of original Greek texts. None of them are the original. We don't have the originals. We only have some that are a couple hundred years at the oldest after Christ. So we don't have the original, but there's a handful of scriptures that they use as the foundation for all our Bibles. And the King James, of course, is the oldest that we use. And since the King James Bible, there's been more Greek scriptures that have been found. And so there's newer translations that have come out since then. And there's Bibles that translate the Greek into English. And believe it or not, Jesus did not preach in English. It's true. He didn't speak English. We're not the center of Christianity, believe it or not. So, and the scriptures weren't written in English, right? So everybody is translating. And if you've ever had a translator you've worked with, different translators translate differently, right? And so different translators of the Greek scriptures translate them into English and Spanish and Russian and Greek. And believe it or not, they translate it into every version. So if you're only holding on to the English, it's possible we're missing something, right? But they some, like the NIV, they translate it thought for thought. And they're like, okay, what is he trying to say in this phrase? I'm going to go ahead and translate it phrase by phrase, maybe thought by thought, they call it. Other versions do it word by word. And they're not as clear or as poetic when you go word by word, but you have more of a sense of what they originally were saying in Greek, right? No version of the Bible is perfect, though. I use the NASB, and there's a handful of scriptures that I shudder when I think how they translated them. They obviously translated them with a bias, but it is what it is. But where you see here, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly. See, desire earnestly? That's actually one word that they could not translate with one English word because it would not communicate the emphasis that the writer, in this case, Paul, what he was putting there. Paul wrote using the Greek word, I'm gonna butcher this, right? I'm actually going to butcher it. It's called, it's Greek. I don't speak Greek, okay? But it's like zlou. And it means to not just desire, but almost to lust after. It means to desire in a way that it's like jealousy. You know how when your heart gets captured with jealousy? And you want something so desperately, it starts to cloud your thoughts on everything. You know what I'm talking? I mean, maybe that's just me. But there are things that I have coveted. It's also covet. Covet. Like you want it so bad, it's hard to think about other things. Is anybody?
Yeah.
any guy in here, you know what I'm talking about. Because you get a hobby and all of a sudden there's stuff that you're just like, honey, we really need this. I'm like, I don't think we do. No. It's carbon fiber. We need it. He says on that level, that's how we're supposed to view prophecy. We're supposed to desperately, long, earnestly covet, lust to prophesy. And don't forbid to speak in tongues. Pretty strong words coming from the Apostle Paul. And I have a feeling he knew what he was talking about. Since Holy Spirit anointed him to write scripture, right? I have a feeling he knew what he was talking about. And if he talks about it that strongly, then possibly we should talk about it. If Paul writes about it that strongly, possibly we should talk about it, right? So I want to talk, there's many different manifestations of the gift of tongues. I'm going to talk about three today. Now, if you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you already pray in tongues, I want you to keep your heart open about what I'm going to teach today. I don't want you to get offended, and I want you to really try to embrace what I'm saying. And if you don't have a prayer language yet, drop all the reasons, the excuses, the defenses. Maybe you were judged because you don't, right? Just drop all that right now. Let's just all try to look at this with an open heart. Amen? All right? This is not a spirituality test, right? We're just going to kind of learn. And again, there's many manifestations. I'm going to talk about what I consider the three main manifestations of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, right? The first one I'm going to talk about today, and I'm going to use a whole lot more scripture than normal, just to kind of combat some arguments. The first manifestation I want to talk about is tongues as the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, hold on a second for me, if you would. There are Pentecostal denominations that teach that if you have received the Holy Spirit, you will pray in tongues. Well, hold on a second before we write that down, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 4 talks about on the day of Pentecost that all these people were there. Jesus had ascended, right? He had ascended into heaven. Holy Spirit fell, and the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Literally, they were praying in tongues unwillingly. It wasn't a goal. They weren't stirring themselves up. They just began to speak in tongues. Now, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, when I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, this is what happened to me, right? I was at a church service. I was in a high church service. I was backslidden. Well, I wasn't backslidden. I was degenerate, right? I wasn't saved, wasn't Christian, wasn't anything, right? I was desperate for God, though. And I sovereignly got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the middle of communion. Didn't know anything about it. Never heard anybody speak in tongues. I think every time that goes off, we should just thank Jesus for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the gift, Lord. Hallelujah. Remind us to thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I was not, I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't leaning into it. Wasn't trying to pass a spiritual test. I received communion. The fire of God fell on me and I couldn't speak in English. I could only speak in tongues. Shaking uncontrollably, crying uncontrollably. I knew what I was experiencing was God, but I didn't know anything else, right? So the first person I ever heard speak in tongues was me, right? That was an evidence of me receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And many people, maybe you got filled one day and you muttered, you know, maybe when you were a kid or at a youth group or something, and you got touched by God and you prayed in tongues once and you've never prayed in tongues again, right? There's scriptural evidence to back up that. Some people, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's an evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, in Acts chapter 10, Peter went and spoke in Caesarea. And when he went there to preach the gospel to them in Acts 10, 44, thank you. He preached the gospel. Holy Spirit fell on the people. They got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues. So there was an initial evidence to Peter that they began speaking in, that they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues. Now, you have to recognize that back then, they didn't have all this worked out exactly. So how do you know if someone got right with God and someone didn't? How do you know if someone saved and if they're not? How do you know the Holy Spirit was still coming? Well, there was an initial evidence that they would begin to speak in tongues, right? However, here it says that they, if you look at verse 46, it's, excuse me, 45, it says, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse 46, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So now we see that tongues wasn't the only evidence that convinced them that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The other evidence was they were exalting God. Now, up to that point, they didn't believe that Gentiles could get saved. Because up to that point, God was only with the Jews. The Jews were his people. Now, all of a sudden, after the cross, it was preached by Jesus, but they didn't understand it. But now the Gentiles are speaking in tongues. In order to speak in tongues, you have to receive the Holy Ghost. In order to receive the Holy Ghost, you have to be saved. So if you heard them speaking in tongues, oh my goodness, they must be saved. We got to go figure this out. Now, I want you to understand something. They had an experience with Holy Spirit that went against their doctrine. Because up to that point, it was a doctrinal fact that only Jews were the people of God. They had a pretty clear statement of faith, which was called the Old Covenant. And Holy Spirit did something outside of their theology. Now, they didn't rebuke the Gentiles for speaking in tongues. The apostles in Jerusalem were wise enough to say, come, tell us what's going on here. Tell us what's going on here. Well, this is what happened. Well, we must have to adjust our doctrine now. God's doing something new. Now, that scares the church today. That scares us. Wait a minute, you mean we got to rely on God if we do that? Not just our statement of faith. You might have to rely on God. That's scary for us who want to be in control. But there's a great wisdom in the scriptures that say, if it's not God, don't worry, it's going to fail anyways. But we don't want to fail because it hurts our ego, right? Like, but that's part of the deal, amen? Now, as we look forward in Acts chapter 19, Paul was laying hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost, and he says, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah for the Holy Ghost, Lord. Woo! I'm enjoying that. I hope it goes off more. Woo! More, Lord. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now, I've laid hands on plenty of people who got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they didn't speak in tongues. They started to get open visions and prophesying about what's happening in heaven. I've seen it happen many times. I lay hands on people, they pray to receive Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they have open visions of heaven. They see Jesus coming toward them. Father's arms are open. They see things coming off. I mean, like, oh, well, I guess you just received the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? That was the initial evidence they began to prophesy. And so there isn't always a formula. In Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, they got alone and they prayed and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began preaching the word with boldness. So what's the initial evidence? Well, there may not be an initial evidence. However, there is an evidence that you received the Holy Ghost. There should be some fruit in your life. When you receive it, things should be different than when God wasn't on you. There should be something different happening. You should have a new boldness. You should have a new love for God. There should be a new zeal for Christ. There should be a heart for the things of God, for holiness, for sanctification, for seeking God's will. These things should be happening in your life. See, but in denominationalism, what we want is to be able to judge whether or not someone else is saved, so we come up with a test. But the truth is, only God knows.
Yeah, that's right.
Only God knows if you're saved or not. Oh, I've been saved since I was born. Really? All right. Well, how are you dealing with sin in your life? Well, I don't think that's important. Yeah. Okay. So how about we hear the gospel now?
Yeah.
Time for a refilling.
Yeah.
If you think that, you know, getting the Holy Ghost is a one-time deal, you're going to start cooling off. I don't care if you were filled before. Are you filled now?
Yeah.
Are you filled right now? Is a passion burning in you right now? Is a fire of God burning in your life right now? Are you burning? That's the question. Are you burning? Are you hungry for the things of God? Is there a zeal in your life for the Word? Do you love the fellowship of the saints? Come on. Are you growing in love? Are you growing in appreciation for other people? Are your insecurities being dealt with? Like, are you on fire? That's what's important. I know that he's saved because I got this statement of things. I have this checklist. There's no checklist in the Bible for us to judge who's saved and who's not. The Bible does say you're supposed to know who you let minister. You should know people who minister to you. But all that is checking fruit. Are you with me?
Yes.
On the church, we want to be the judge. We don't want to trust God. Are you with me? Amen?
Yes.
So what's the initial evidence? Well, tongues is an initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But it's not the only evidence. And it's possible that people get baptized in the Holy Ghost and don't speak in tongues. Right? Because what we're going to find as we study is that initial evidence is not the same thing as your continuing ability to pray in tongues as your prayer language. Right? We're going to talk about that in a moment. Amen? Second thing I want us to look at is tongues as a prophetic word. Tongues as a prophetic word. God is messing with me right now. Hold on a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that there are gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? And these gifts, in verse 9, he says there's a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, there's faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, did I miss any? Diversity of tongues and interpreting tongues. There's 9 of them, right? One of these gifts is be able to speak a word in tongues. Another gift is interpreting the tongues. Are you with me? So 1 Corinthians 12:9 teaches us that there's actually a gift of speaking in tongues. Now, these gifts are for you to minister to other people. Hear me. They're for you to minister to other people, right? To literally manifest Holy Spirit in this physical realm. That's what all these gifts do. They manifest Holy Spirit in this physical realm. And our goal as believers, hear me, Jesus put on flesh, came to earth, died a sinless man for our sins. Amen? Was raised from the dead, and now is no longer here. He's at the right hand of the Father. Are you with me? Have you thought about the fact that there is flesh in heaven right now? There's flesh in heaven interceding for us. I just thought of that. I thought that's amazing. But Jesus is now in heaven. Holy Spirit is on earth. And what we do is we manifest Holy Spirit through the flesh. It's our goal is to manifest Him. Are you with me? And so there is a gift of speaking in tongues, giving a tongue that is a message of Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm trying to figure out what Holy Spirit's telling me. Please forgive me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, so we see that this isn't the only place in the Scriptures that we see this. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, he says, God has appointed in the church first apostles, then prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Why did he teach that? Let me tell you what was happening in the church. Let me tell you a little history lesson here. Okay, Holy Spirit came and started doing crazy stuff. And sometimes people begin to think the crazier it is, the more God it is. Well, let me put it another way. Sometimes, you may not have experienced this, but charismatic, spirit-filled folks will think, the weirder I am, the more spiritual I'm being. The weirder, the more spiritual. To me, the weirder, the more weird. Right? God has full authority to rock my boat and to do stuff I don't understand. He has full authority. But to me, I got a weird test. We call it the giggle test. When someone does something and they call it God, go, it's probably not God. There's the giggle test. Let me give you an example. Every time I see a double number on the clock, that's confirmation that I'm going to marry this girl. No, it really doesn't. Doesn't mean that at all. Because that happens many times a day. About 24 times a day, that happens. You know, that's something that's weird. That's not God, right? And so, just because it's super spiritual, but they didn't know that yet. And so they were trying to be so super spiritual about everything that nobody was being taught anything. Nothing was being, the church wasn't being built. And so Paul, in his amazing wisdom and his ability to confront people and not care what they think, but in love and anointing, came and said, listen, okay, I'm going to have to set some things in order. I know that you're jumping up over there thinking you're super spiritual by praying in tongues while the guy's trying to preach, but let me help you out and let you see how important your tongue is right now in the midst of this preaching. Put the scripture back up. All right, let me let you know the order. He said, first, we got apostles, Mr. Tongue Speaker. Then we got prophets, okay, not you yet. Then teachers, then miracles, helps, healings, gifts, administration, then tongues. So if we got none of those other things happening, go ahead and take over the meeting. But if any of these other things are happening, please just be quiet and let them do what they're doing. Right? Let me tell you the other problem that we have in the charismatic church, and I've dealt with this, I've lived it myself. A good half of the charismatic church wants to be on stage, right? And so the only time they actually manifest Holy Spirit is Sunday morning. And then it's their time to shine because they're so super spiritual and they want to be recognized as the spiritual one in the room. When really we come together to be equipped to go out there and be spiritual. We're being equipped in here to go there and manifest Holy Spirit in the world who don't know Him. Are you with me? In life group, we come together and we minister one to another. We bring our gifts, we minister to each other, pray for each other, maybe get a word, maybe get a vision, maybe get a psalm. We do that. But Sunday morning is not when we do that. And people are like, oh, we need a good church service. We need God to do this and God to do that. Well, that's not every service. Not every service is for everything. Yeah. Revival Kids is having a meeting right now. Do you want some adult to randomly wander in there and start yelling in tongues? I don't. I really don't. Right? I don't. Have you been in a church where it's you know, every man for himself? We used to have revival meetings in South Florida, and they were just so disorderly. I used to go with friends, and I'd say, all right, I'm going to get prayer, and you watch, make sure nobody touches me while I'm on the ground. Then when I'm done, I'll let somebody pray for you, and I'll make sure nobody touches you. There were just self-appointed apostles and prophets all over the place, just given demons. We used to have the problem. We first started this church, people were like, oh, I can be somebody now. I'm like, no. He says, oh, back in the old days, I probably shouldn't say it. I'm going to say it anyways. Back in the old days, we just let anybody pray for anybody. If you got a demon, we just cast it out. You know, if you got a demon from someone praying for you, we just cast it out. I'm like, no thanks. No thanks. You want a demon from someone praying for you? I don't. And if somebody puts someone on the prayer team, I expect you to know them. Be known. Okay, I'm sorry. I went too far with that one. But listen. So there are a gift of tongue, and there is an interpretation. It's still active, and we see this. And I'm trying to follow Holy Spirit right now. Chris, can you stand? And Mike, can you stand? You're going to give a tongue, and Mike, you're going to interpret it. Did you have any idea this is about to happen? I didn't either. Hallelujah. You done?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Come here. It's on you. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's on you. It's right there. Just start talking.
Okay. Here you go. Okay, so the Holy Spirit says, in my interpretation, Holy Spirit, So the Holy Spirit, in my interpretation, was talking about when Chris said that. All I heard was Jesus started talking about people, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the people that we minister to, like when we're evangelizing. All he was talking about was. When we're evangelizing, we're supposed to show the love of God, which everybody knows, but we're supposed to show it in a way that people are accepting of it. And so that's what, can receive it. And it's not in a judging fashion. He's talking about it more in a physical form of love or it just in kind words. And that's really all
I got.
That's
a good word. Yeah. That's a good word. That sounds like something God would say. That scared me a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. Lots of room for failure there. He could have said, "Woe is unto you, blind shepherds." You know, he could have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in this gift, what was happening in the early church was people were just, they wanted to be spiritual. And in their youthfulness, in their youthfulness in God, they didn't have this really worked out. And so Paul had to bring some order to it. And he talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12. He's like, do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? This is what he's talking about. He's talking about, does everybody have this 1 Corinthians 12 gift of giving a prophetic word in tongues? No, all don't. And not everybody interprets it. So we can't all just come in and preach in tongues because nobody gets edified. He talked about this in 1 Corinthians 14, 27. He says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. But if there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now watch this. Watch this. This scripture is misused in the church. It says if there's no interpreter, you're not supposed to speak in tongues. But watch what it says here. If there's no interpreter, go back. If there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So what does that mean? If we got someone, say Chris stands up and he yells in tongues and no interpretation, and Kellyanne stands up, no interpretation, and then maybe Lydia stands up, no interpretation. Okay, that's enough. We tried. Three strikes, you're out. Let's just preach now, right? Let's just move on, right? But Chris is like, but I feel like I have a tongue. Well, speak to yourself then. It's just for you, and that's between you and God. So don't scream it out, but you could still pray in the Holy Ghost in a church service, but don't be distracting. You're messing with what's happening here. Now we're just talking about order, right? Amen?
Yeah.
Now listen, all you just talked, but it didn't distract you from the message, did it? You just yelled amen, you just answered my question. So clearly it doesn't mean you're not supposed to talk in church. You're not supposed to be a distraction. So in worship, there's times we'll all just pray in the Holy Ghost. That's not this praying in tongues, right? That's a perfect. Now, if we got no interpreter, stop screaming. We tell people all the time, just please stop screaming. Like, I understand you're getting something out of it, but you're really kind of annoying other people. Just stop. All right? If your manifestations draw attention from God, we're going to ask you to dial it down a little bit. In the 80s, people loved to wave flags in the front of the church. Not in love with it. Number one, it's not the 80s. Number two, I find it distracting. Number three, I often see performance on it, and we're not here to perform. Right? That's why we don't allow shofars, because we have a band. But I want to play, well, you know, get a shofar band together and, you know, see how many churches invite you. I don't know, right? Like, so we don't do that, right? Because it distracts what we've already planned. Are you with me? And the third, and I'm running a little late, but I'm going to try to do this quickly. The third, are you following along? Is this good? Are you good with this? The third topic of tongues that I want to cover is your prayer language. Tongues as a prayer language. Amen? Are you with me? All right, 1 Corinthians 14:2. He says, "For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries." Again, there's a part of this manifesting Holy Spirit that we're supposed to be surrendering our understanding and our need to know what's happening. You're speaking mysteries. You don't even know, but your spirit man, you have to recognize we're a three-part person. We have spirit, soul, and body. Our flesh came from the earth. Our spirit comes from God, and our soul is where the two mix. When we get saved, the Spirit of Christ awakens our spirit man, and it's connected to God. So God is spirit. Our spirit connects to God. But we don't perfectly understand what's happening in our spirit because our soul is corrupt from sin. The more we follow our spirit instead of our flesh, the more we know God and we grow in Christ. As we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're telling our soul and our body, you don't get to decide what we're praying today. I'm going to bypass my understanding and manifest Holy Spirit right here in my flesh as the Lord gives me utterance. So I'm just going to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, speaking mysteries. I'm interceding over myself, not even knowing what God is praying for me. I'm saying amen. I don't know God's plan, but I'm saying amen. I don't know what he wants in my life, but I'm saying amen. I don't know if it's going to be hard or easy. Amen. I trust you, God. I'm praying in the Holy Spirit saying, I don't get it all right, God, but I am following you. You want to see how much you don't follow God? Begin, just consecrate a half hour, an hour a day to pray in tongues. And all of a sudden, the stuff that doesn't honor God begins to manifest. Oh boy, there's all kinds of stuff in my life that aren't yielding to God's plan in my life. You might even get fearful to pray in the Holy Ghost. You might even get fearful like, man, I don't know if I'm ready for this today. You are ready for it. It's a lie from the devil that you're not. It's a lie that you don't want to follow God. It's a lie. The truth is that you love God. You want to live for him. You want his glory in your life. You want to see his glory on the earth. You love following Jesus. You love yielding to him. It's what you were created for. And you don't feel any greater purpose than when you're following God perfectly. Never in your life do you have greater joy than when you hear, well done, good and faithful servant from God. This is what you're created for. The lie says there's other things and there's other pleasures and the counterfeits aren't even good counterfeits. The truth is that you love following God. You love it. You live for it. You're created for it. You want to do it more. And so we pray in the Holy Ghost to say, not my will, your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. That's us living at the edge of our flesh, the edge of our understanding. And there's times when we pray and we just do not know. Like, I don't even know how to pray over this situation. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8. He says, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Man, I don't know how to pray over things, I just begin praying in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. I just believe in God. I don't minister in praying in tongues. I don't pray over people in tongues. I may pray over people, and I'm praying in tongues to get inspiration on how I'm supposed to be praying. But people come to me for prayer because I have something worked out here. Right? I have some sort of understanding of how to do this thing. But if I don't have, you know, if I don't have a leading, or I don't have a discerning, or I don't understand what God is speaking to me, I might pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment. But I do that to stir myself up. So I have something to minister, right? Because I'm speaking to God and I don't know how to pray. But the times I'm in intercession, I just begin to pray. I just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I pray, parents, I pray over the Holy Ghost. I pray over my house in the Holy Ghost. I just let the Spirit lead me and I'm praying over rooms. And I'm like going to one of my kids' rooms and begin screaming in tongues. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what attack is coming. I'm just interceding for them. I have a plan for my kids, but I want God's plan for my kids. Amen. I want God's plan for my wife. I want God's plan for my family. I want God's plan for this church. I have plans, but I want God's plan. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just start praying in the Holy Ghost and I allow the Lord to lead me. Allow him to lead me. And I might find myself screaming in tongues. I don't know why. I let it go. I'll tell you what. I put on worship music. You hear it at the street. I'm in my living room screaming at the top of my lungs in the Holy Ghost. I come out of it, feel like I'm walking with God. How does that work? I didn't make it, though. He did. I just do it. Hallelujah. I don't know. Don't know how to pray as I should. I'm just believing the Bible. I'm just believing the Bible. Praying in tongues, praying stuff I don't know. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, I don't speak in tongues. Though. I don't know. You know, it's not my gift. 1 Corinthians 14:5. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Now, is he talking about giving a prophetic word in tongue? No, because we already read that he wrote that, do all have tongues? Do all interpret? No, right? The initial evidence? We only get the initial evidence once. That's why it's called initial, right? You can't get it. It's the initial evidence, right? So it's not that. What are you talking about? Your prayer language. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's for me. Yep, it's for you. Are you saved? If you're not, the intercession banner right here after service. If you need to get right with God, come on over here. Someone will help you get right with God, and they'll lay hands on you, and you'll receive the Holy Ghost. It's that simple. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
But I wish that you all spoke in tongues. I wish that you could do more than you can do. And you need to be able to pray more than you can pray. And you do that with this gift. Now, he talks about what happens further in the chapter in 1 Corinthians 14:14. I got a lot of Bible for you. I hope you're following along. This will be online. You can follow it, right? He says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." What is the outcome then? I'll pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with my mind also. I'll sing with the spirit, and I'll sing with the mind also. I pray in tongues, and then I get some understanding of what I'm supposed to pray for. And then I pray it. I speak it out. I might get a vision. Might see stuff. Friday nights at Burning Room, man, it was good this last week. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Wow, it was good. But we just sang in the Spirit for a long time. Man, I just felt the Holy Ghost moving in the room. And then we began to pray, began to thank God. And as you just yield yourself to Holy Spirit, all of a sudden things start to become clearer. You got an issue in your life that you just can't get past. Man, just decide. I'm just going to play. I'll tell you what works for me. Blast worship music, screaming tongues. I don't know why it works, but it works. I was preaching at a revival one time. Like, if you understand what I'm saying, at a revival, you know, churches will have a revival. I was at a tent revival, and I was preaching, and I brought some young guys with me to minister, and they're trying to, you know, minister like we minister. And I'm like, listen, screaming tongues, that's all they get here. Like, that's, ministry to them is screaming tongues. And so, like, they were praying for people were looking at their watch. I'm like, listen, screaming tongues. They start screaming in tongues. People start falling left and right. I'm like, hey, you know, I'll be a Greek to the Greek, a Jew to the Jew, screaming tongues revival person to a screaming tongues revival person. My theory is if it works, you know, whatever, right? If it works, whatever, right? And for me, blasting worship music and screaming in tongues works. Things get clearer. I start to see things through the eyes of faith. Instead of doubt, I get my eyes off myself. My eyes get on God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Is it the only way? No, but it's a surefire way for me. When all else fails, turn to God, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So we see that, you know, it's not profitable to you. If I get up here and speak in tongues, it's not profitable. It doesn't help you at all. You all need some. And so it's not time for me to pray in tongues up here. Like, I should have done that before. Like, I knew when I was going to be up here.
Yeah.
Right? You know, roughly 11:15, it's time for me to talk. So I really should be getting touched with God before I get up here, right? Because I know what time I'm coming up. So if I come up here and say, I'm just gonna wait and see what God wants to do. Like, did you not know that today was church? Like, at any point in the week, you could have asked. Like, he has a plan. Like, I tell Corey, at no point are we just going to labor in worship. Like, you better know what God wants to do before you get on stage. I don't want to sit up here and wait for you guys to do your job. Like, strum on my guitar. Let's just wait on God. Like, what? You got 23 hours just in today before this time. You got all week minus 1 hour to figure that out, right? Like, get it before you come up here. So pray in the Holy Ghost and get God's wisdom. Are you with me at all? Are we together here? Are we good?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so Paul reiterates in 1 Corinthians 14:4, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. The one who prophesies edifies the church. So if I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm getting out of five. And so we could even say, if no one interpreted what Chris said earlier, that's just a word for him. He just built himself up. But as soon as Mikey got up and gave a word, he encouraged the whole church. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Ephesians 6:18, Paul wrote this. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, I tell people, just pray in tongues all the time. Driving in your car, praying the Holy Ghost. In the shower, praying the Holy Ghost. You're at school, there's so many languages in South Florida, nobody knows what you're talking. Just walk around praying the Holy Ghost. Nobody knows. That must be that Arabic. I had a neighbor who's Arabic. That must be Arabic. That's Creole. I know it. Could be. Probably not. Just praying the Holy Ghost. I got saved when I was going to Florida, and fortunately their football season ended. I don't think they played this year. self-imposed sanction, I believe. And I used to walk around campus just praying in tongues. Like, nah. I just got to the point, I don't care. Figure it out. I don't care. I'm just praying for all y'all heathens, right? Finally, in Jude, let me get Corey to come on up. Jude, he says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to change what I just said. Can I have Kellyanne and Mike just come up? And come on down. And let me get my drummer. Hallelujah. 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 Friday night. Play something Friday night. Not the last song, though. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So here's my conclusion. You build yourself up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Why would you not want it? After all this scriptural evidence, if you don't earnestly desire this gift, you got to look at yourself and say, what in me is not surrendered? Hear me. Hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you need to be spiritual like me. I'm not saying you have to do what I do. I'm not saying you have to manifest Holy Spirit the way I manifest Holy Spirit. But this is a tool that God has given us. It's God Himself praying through us. Paul talked time and time and time and time and time again about why it's so beneficial and that we need to do it. And if we say, well, no, I'm good without it. I remember my wife had a debate with some very, very nice people who were convinced that we should stop manifesting Holy Spirit. And my wife said, if you found out that it was God, would you want it? She said, no. I'm like, are you sure you're a Christ follower? Are you sure? Are you sure you're a Christ follower? Oh, I'm not sure. Are you sure you're following Jesus? Because the Bible makes it pretty clear on this. And so this is not a, I'm not trying to put anybody down here. But as I pray in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is revealing things to me. Go ahead and start playing some stuff. Holy Spirit is revealing stuff to me that I've not said yes to. Well, let me say it this way. As I'm giving the Spirit liberty to intercede on my behalf, I'm finding areas in my life that have not yielded the Holy Spirit. And I have to make a decision. Am I going to continue living like that? Or am I going to trust God and yield? So I'm here with you. If you're like, I don't know, I'm here with you. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. The crazy thing about Jesus and this following of Jesus is he is constantly challenging us to hope in our areas of failure. He's constantly challenging us to hope in areas of disappointment. He's constantly using our areas of confusion to challenge us if we will hope again. And many of you, manifesting Holy Spirit is one of those. I tried, it didn't work, that's it. Can you hope again? But I had everybody pray for me, and it didn't happen, right? Can you still hope, or are you scared? If you're scared, God gets it. But if you're prideful, He doesn't. If you come to conclusions that are contrary to the Word of God, that's a problem. I mean, you may not deal with it now, but one day you're going to have to deal with it, right? Join a different stream that just agrees with that biblical error, but it won't make you right. But we want to be a people. I want to be a people that yield the Holy Spirit in everything. I just want to yield. I want to yield to God on earth. We preach a lot about vision. We talk about destiny. We talk about potential. But the truth it's our job to lay down our lives for Jesus. Let's thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Stand with me. Let's just thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to ask if just give me, oh goodness, I went long. Please forgive me. Give me about 5 minutes. We're going to pray for some people today. If you have a prayer language, I want you to just begin, just really, don't be screaming. Just begin just praying the Holy Ghost if you would. And here's what's going to happen. This is going to build up a little bit. And if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, if you don't have your prayer language yet, God does not do it for you. The spiritual part he takes care of, but you have to give him a voice. You're going to have to yield your mouth, and you're going to have to loose the tongue. You're actually going to have to make the words. God gives me revelation, but I have to speak them. Mikey had a picture a moment ago about what the Holy Spirit was speaking through Christopher, but he had to interpret it and speak it. So you, as you feel the Holy Spirit begin to build in you, and it's going to begin to pray the Holy Ghost. As it begins to bubble up in your stomach, you're going to have to yield. Some of you have been praying in tongues religiously for years. And at some point, I want to challenge you to begin saying, Holy Spirit, make intercession through me. I want to yield. I don't want to just do it out of this religious thing that I've been doing. I haven't gained a new word in tongues since I got filled. But begin to yield right now. But some of you don't pray in tongues. It's going to start, it's even bubbling up now. You can feel it in your jaws. You feel it in your cheeks. It's bubbling up out of your belly right now. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost or you don't pray in the Spirit right now, I just command you to be filled right now. In the name of Jesus, I command a fresh filling over you right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just ask Jesus to fill you with the Spirit. John the Baptist said, I am not the one, but the one coming after me. I'm not worried that it loses sandals, but he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit happening here today. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on, come on, come on, come on. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit coming today.